Are we live?
Oh, we're live.
Oh shoot, dude. I
Well,
will
we
say
can start, man.
this Crunchwrap Supreme is so good, dude. Watch me as I eat it.
Wow. Whoa, whoa. What the eyes too, man. Your eyes rolled back. Did you know I don't like Crunchwrap Supremes?
What?
How shocking is that? You know why? Because one of the main ingredients is lettuce. It's a wrap, man.
Wait, you like sushi, but you don't like lettuce.
It's true.
But nacho fries are back.
Heck yeah, man. Nacho fries are back. I've only had them once since they've come though. I'm so bummed. I'm about to get them soon. I think about them every night. Like, tomorrow will be the day that I get them again. And then it just never happens.
Dude, and they're so cheap. The nacho fries are so cheap. They're so
affordable. Man. Super cheap.
A little snack, like, you know? Dude. Or you can get the nacho Bel Grande with the fries on top. Ooh.
I'll never forget the time I first discovered them. I went to a drive-thru. Like after work, and I'm just looking at their menu and trying to figure out what I want. And I'm like, fries? What the heck? Taco Bell fries? But the picture actually looked pretty good, like the way they have them seasoned and stuff. I'm like, all right, I'll try it out. And I didn't realize it came with the nacho cheese also. So when I got it, I was like, this is really weird. Cause I think before you've had it, you don't assume that you dip fries in cheese all that much. I mean, not for like $1. But anyways, I tried and I'm like, yo, this is so good. The seasoning with the cheese is just perfect. On point.
Clutch.
Been hooked ever since, man. Hooked ever since.
I know. I'm so glad they're back. But my wife just turned me on to, dude, McDonald's spicy chicken nugs, bro. Whoa. Fire. Literally in your mouth. And they're red too. So good.
And they're red too. So this is new. They haven't had spicy nugs before.
They have not had spicy nugs before. She had them on the whim and amazing. So good. She only saved me one. It was cold and it was like 5 hours later. Still good.
Yeah, it probably fell in between the seats. She just fished it out.
Like, totally. There was like some hair on it. Yeah, she's like, I'm going to save this for my husband. There's hair on it. There's like lint. I think I got a little lint with it. Didn't matter. Spicy nugs with lint and hair, even better. Little texture.
So I have to try those because I'm a big fan of spicy nugs. They're almost the exclusive nugs of my life. I can hardly just get regular nugs anymore. Like, if I do get regular nugs, I have to mix it with the spicy nuggets because it tastes too plain and I have to like break it up. Otherwise I get bored and I just want to fall asleep eating them. So if I go to Wendy's, you know, you can get the 5 count. I'll usually get a 5 count of original and a 5 count of spicy. And then I'll just like alternate, you know, one original, one spicy, alternate back and forth, barbecue, ranch. How I do
Wait,
it.
Why don't you just get a 5 count with 2 5 counts of spicy? Why do you get 5 count of regular and 5 count of spicy?
Because the opposite is also true for me, where it only having spicy is too much for me. It's overloading my palate. And I feel like I'm going to do some irreversible damage to my taste buds if I just only have spicy nuts. Well, you've heard, okay, so there are people who, maybe you are one of these people, but there are people who put Tabasco sauce on everything to the point where they can't not have it. Like, they'll be eating, I don't know, just the most normal food in the world, I don't know, like a cheeseburger, and they're looking around for Tabasco sauce because it's too plain for them. Even if it's actually flavorful, they need it. I don't want to be that person. That's why I gotta, you know, bend my own desires off for the spicy nugs.
Yeah, that makes 100%. Like, that makes sense to me, 100%. My wife is, like, spicy everything, and she kind of has had to, stop eating so much spicy. I, on the other hand, would enjoy, like, somewhat spicy food, but, like, have increased the amount that I eat spicy significantly. So we have, like, this middle bearing now. But, like, I would definitely say my wife's family, like, spicy is a requirement for them, to the point where, like you just mentioned, something might not be as flavorful unless there's some kind of heat involved. Like, it could be like truffle and garlic and all this other thing, but it won't be like that flavorful to them unless there's chili peppers and jalapenos all up in that mess.
Yeah, see, that's, I don't know if I want to get to that point in life. I mean, the people who really like spicy stuff, like your wife and her family, that's like the best of the best to them. But I've never been like that big of a spicy person. So I'm trying to just have some balance. And that's just my approach with nuggets. So not really the way I envisioned the opening of this podcast to go, talking about our approach to nuggets, or nugget philosophy. But nonetheless, here we are. So MD, you're looking pretty fly today, man. Rocking the turtleneck with the aviator captain's headphones on. Looks like you're about to take us in for a landing. You had some of the big bosses in today, huh?
Yeah, it was nice. Boss flew down from the Bay Area, from Oakland, and the other boss flew in from Denver. It's good seeing them. I really enjoy spending time with them. They're awesome guys. They love basketball and just love hanging out and love people. You know, they're definitely people persons first. And so I really enjoy working with them, getting to chat with them, and hence the had to dress up, put the turtleneck on. People actually thought I look like a James Bond bad guy. That's kind of what I got. I don't know if I want to wear this turtleneck anymore. Everyone was like, oh, hey, Dr. Evil or something. And I was like, I don't know. Is that a compliment? Is that like, am I trying to be Dr. Evil? Because I mean, he was a millionaire. He did have a lot of money. He had like sharks and stuff, didn't he? And he almost like, no. I don't know.
I don't know either, but you do look like a Bond villain. I'll say that.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
At least I'm in a movie. I'll take it, you know?
That's true. I can only pass as a normal civilian. Probably the one that dies in the Bond film in the background that no one cares about. That'd be my role. At least you have a cool role.
So. I don't know. The beard. The beard is adding. I don't know who you are with the beard yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. The little scruff.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a drug dog or whatever that was called like Dr. McScruff or something?
No, McGruff, stay away from the drugs. Crime dog.
McGruff. Wasn't he not like McGruff the Scruff or something? McGruff Scruff.
I don't remember McGruff Scruff, but I remember McGruff the crime dog, and he had like a trench coat on.
Mm-hmm. He would wear like what I'm wearing right now. He would wear something like what I would be wearing.
McGruff, yeah, he looked pretty classy. Pretty classy guy, like
classy dog business for sure.
Classy dog. So you're comparing me to McGruff the crime dog, or is it just because I have scruff? I triggered in your memory McGruff.
The crime dog. Yeah, that's it. You don't look like McGruff. You don't look like a dog. Okay.
All right, well, that's good. At least I have that going for me. You have the evil genius.
Oh, you know who you look like? You look like... I just got it.
Bro, you just pointed at me. I got it. Now I'm super excited because you were like that point of like you just saw a celebrity like, oh, there he is. All right, who am I?
You look like Ryan from The Office. when he gets rehired, when he's working at the bowling alley, he's got like the scruff going on and everything. You just need to dye your hair blonde and boom.
Get the blonde tips and everything. Dude, that version of Ryan in The Office when he was in the bowling alley, that's like the worst version of Ryan. I don't want to be him.
No, sorry. You weren't him. You're him. When does he have the scruff? No, he's still like the VP. He gets the scruff after he realizes that his machine or online like buying platform isn't working. So he's like stressing and gets the scruff, right? Yeah.
Well, I think he has it then, but he also gets it pretty early in the series when he becomes the executive, like in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because when he goes back to visit the Scranton branch, remember Michael's like, oh, he's back and he has a beard. And they give him like such a hard time. They like make fun of him. And he gets all mad because he wants to be taken seriously. Maybe subconsciously, that's also how I am. You know, like I want people to give me some respect. And the only way I can communicate that desire is by having this beard, because I'm too nice to tell people like, hey, I'm almost 30 now. I want to be treated with respect. And if I order spicy nugs and original nugs, I want you to just respect that as an adult decision, not a teenage experience. And this could be a cry for help. It could be. But you know what? It's grown in pretty well. So I'm proud of that.
Wait, can you, next week we record, can you not shave? Can you just like let it grow out? I think you should grow it out.
From now until then?
Well, it's like a playoff beard for the Lakers, you know, like,
okay.
I mean, NHL, you know, they like do playoff beards until they get eliminated, right? Like that's the, what is it called again? My brain's not working.
Like a rally beard?
No, like in the NHL, superstition. It's a superstition.
Okay. Yeah.
So it'll be the superstition. Lakers won't win another championship if you shave your beard again. So you have to keep it on growing.
I will become Gandalf, if those are the terms. If I have to grow a beard for the Lakers to win a championship, we'll grow the longest beard you've ever seen.
As long as you make sure, you know, those Clippers do not pass and can't get past the Lakers, I will take it. I will gladly take it.
Oh man, if we had awesome like video editing skills, this movie would like insert like a
"You shall not pass."
Yeah. Like my head on it, right over Gandalf's head, all cheesy looking.
We'll get there. You know, it's the beginning of the podcast. You got to start somewhere. I mean,
it is
like 5 years from now when you and I are like the most popular podcasters in the world and we're like doing podcast tours like in the middle of malls, or no, we wouldn't be in the middle of the malls. We'd probably be like in the middle of Taco Bell's doing our podcast, drawing a crowd, you know, like when Taco Bell becomes our sponsor, like our head sponsor, like we'll remember these times.
Oh, heck yeah. I can't wait for that day then. I can't. Humble beginnings.
Always. Hashtag stay humble.
Well, speaking hashtag of new beginnings.
Whatever it takes. Hashtag championship or bus. Hashtag one team. Hashtag all for one. One for all.
These are like all the playoff slogans from the NBA. Hashtag fear the deer. Not very cool.
Hashtag where amazing happens.
Hashtag I love this game.
That was a good one. Lakers don't really have hashtags because they don't need it.
Yeah, not really. Hashtag washed king.
Hashtag strength in numbers.
Hashtag kid from Akron. All mine are dumb, dude. We gotta stop. All yours are epic.
No, dude. I was about to say hashtag J-Butt, but that's a good one. J-Butt.
J-Butt.
No, what's the Heat? The Heat have a good one, dude. Heat, by the way, I don't know how they're doing.
They're not doing good. They're trash right now. Yeah.
Mm.
But
I had a feeling they lost some pretty big pieces, like Jay Crowder. He's a big piece, you know, that solid wing defender, 3-and-D defender that they could rely on.
I'm going to look where they are right now in the standings for us so we can have something to go off of. But last time I checked, they weren't even in the top eight in the East last time I checked. And as of today, wow. Okay. I'll give you three guesses. Obviously, you know they're not going to be in the top eight because I just told you. And the fact that I said wow probably hints at the fact that they're even worse than what I thought. But okay, I'll give you one guess. If you get it right, I will not shave my beard until the next time.
No, dude. If you get it right, the next pod, you'll eat 10 spicy nugs straight. No regular than spicy, just like straight spicy, bro.
All right, well, I want you to get it right then, because that sounds fun. All right, one of us wants to do it. Okay, if you get it right, I will do it. If you get it wrong, then
you can still do it.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Cool. I'm eating the food this episode. You have to eat the food next episode.
Sure. Deal.
Okay, am I saying, am I just guessing a number, 1 through 16 or 1 through 15?
Well, no, because I told you already that they're not in the top 8. So you have, your options are 9 through 15.
13.
What was it?
13.
Final answer?
Final answer.
You're correct. Hey, man.
Yeah, spicy on nugs.
Money. On the money. I'm glad we didn't bet anything too crazy because you nailed that. They're 13th, though. They're 6-11. How crazy is that?
Yeah, they're terrible. They're doing bad right now. Well, Jimmy hasn't been playing often. They're in a funk. Like, this whole pandemic, I think, just still. And a lot of people were saying that the whole quarantine bubble definitely helped them a lot, especially a team like that where they really came together because of their chemistry.
Yeah,
after taking that long break, it's coming through, but we'll see. The season's begun. We're only like 20 games in.
Yeah, it's super early. Mm-hmm. This is the time of the year in the season where you look at the standings and you overreact, but in reality things tend to just regress back to the norm.
Yeah, they bring a balance to the force, just like how you like to balance out your nugs. Everything balances out always.
Absolutely. Great comparison. Speaking of things that are kind of shocking in the beginning of the season, what are your thoughts on the Cleveland Cavaliers? Because
playing really well. The East will always go through Cleveland forever and always. As long as Bron. Even when Bron's left, the East has gone through Cleveland. Back-to-back wins against the Brooklyn Nets. The East is through Cleveland. You're welcome. Shout out to my boy Caleb, even though he's not even playing.
No.
That's how good they are. He doesn't even need to play, and they're freaking winning against the best team, the super team.
Colin Sexton is carrying them now, man. Guy's so good.
Yeah, dude. He's crazy, bro.
He is. He's
like
nuts.
Literally. Crazy. He's like crazy. Yeah. And him, our boy Andre Drummond has been playing well. Who else? Jarrett Allen.
JaVale McGee. Point guard. JaVale
McGee. Bro, that is the new thing. I have not seen any highlights with him. I didn't know he gets highlights anymore.
Yes, dude. He's been on like House of Highlights I don't know if it's back to back, but a couple of times in like a 4-day span because he had a couple of possessions where he just like cross people up and get to the basket. Like he would go between his legs, around his back, take a couple of strides because he's super tall and dunk it. But he would like juke out guards and it's JaVale McGee. So people are like, what the heck?
I mean, is he juking them out or is he literally just stepping around them because he's freaking JaVale McGee lanky?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. But they're like borderline nice ball handling moves. They still look awkward because it's a 7-footer doing it. Mm-hmm. But still, like, Bill McGee, point guard. So,
dude, it's not just that. It's this is the future of basketball. Three centers. Like, it's coming all back to it, dude. Every team needs to have three centers in order to win.
Three. Honestly, I kind of miss that era, but at the same time, I don't, because it was really low scoring. But I miss having a really dominant center in the league, like Shaq or Dwight when he was in his prime.
Did we not have three centers when we won the championship?
We had Bynum.
How? No, just this last championship.
Oh. I don't think we had three centers that actually played. Well, we had JaVale and Dwight. And who's the third?
Anthony Davis.
Oh, okay. I mean, if you count AD, then sure, you have three centers. Technically, we have three centers. You're right. We did.
I told you, dude. It's the new formula. Three centers.
you've unlocked the secret. That's why the Warriors are no longer relevant. The league figured them out.
But speaking and getting serious, like, I think that talks to the Brooklyn Nets' weakness, and it's something that you and I talked about in the last pod. Bigs. They literally have DeAndre Jordan, who can play like 12 to 24 minutes a game as their main center, as a big, to help get some boards and play some defense. But after that, he's older now. He's washed up. Like, he relied so much on his athleticism, and it's deteriorated. It's deprecated. So now that's Brooklyn's weakness. They have great guards. They have great shooters. They have great playmakers. But if you slow the game down and the Spurs, it's like grit and grind type of basketball, you know, smart grit and grind basketball with bigs. There's no way KD can take on an AD. There's no way KD can take on a Jarrett Allen, a JaVale McGee, an Andre Drummond, night after night, a 7-game series. I think, yes, their talent will shine and they'll get maybe a couple wins here and there just from shooting lights out from their team. But in the playoffs, we know basketball slows down. Possessions are less possessions. They matter more. And as that basketball transforms and that game transforms to playoff basketball, I just don't think Brooklyn's going to have it this year. It's not going to work. Every single one of those teams had to have some kind of center. Even the Warriors had center, whether that was Bogut, JaVale McGee, they had some kind of big that could get in the paint, guard the paint, foul, use up their 5 to 6 fouls, and get a couple blocks.
Yeah. Who is the center for Brooklyn right now? I'm trying to look it up right now.
I think it's DeAndre. They're starting DeAndre again, I think.
You're right. Which is not a great option. He hasn't been a starting quality center in a while. And I mean, that speaks to their need at the center position. The fact that he's even starting. But I mean, you have three all-stars. They're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make it for sure to the second round. But I'm not 100% confident yet that they're going to make it to the conference finals. I think it's very possible that they lose in the second round, even with three all-stars. And I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but the biggest reason I think that's the case and that they're going to struggle is their defense. DeAndre is not what he used to be. And you have three players who, other than Durant, aren't really known for their defense. And Durant's known for defense because he's super lengthy and he can bother anyone's shot, but he's not known for being an absolute lockdown defender. Kyrie, you can get steals, but he's only really engaged when he wants to be. And then Harden obviously is a liability on defense. They're going to get up a ton of points, man. A ton of points. And in the playoffs, you need defense. You need stops because all those teams are super good in the playoffs. It's not like when you're playing in the East, you're going to have a lot of games in the regular season that you can just skate by because a lot of the teams just aren't good. And then you have the Knicks who might make the playoffs this year, which would be really cool, and I hope they do. But
Julius Randle.
They're not a great team. Dude, I know. We really should pay some respect to Julius Randle. I'll let you begin doing this because I know you're a huge Julius Randle fan, but let's give some props to him.
Yeah, he is having a career year, and he tends to kind of have those on contract years. I'll say that, and it is a contract year for him. But he has put up, I think, 3 or 4 triple doubles already this season. He's definitely the de facto leader of that Knicks team, and he's the one who's carrying them. I have not seen Knicks fans or the Knicks basketball team, like the Knickerbockers, be this competitive in a very, very long time. He's definitely brought some life to that team, and it's good. Like, we want the major markets to have competitive teams. The basketball, the NBA is at its best when the major markets are some of the most competitive teams around. And to finally bring that back to New York and have a relevant team where, you know what, they may not win every night. I don't think they have a winning record, but at least they'll put up a fight. And this is the closest they've been to like 500 starting in their like first 20 games in a while. I think they're like 8-10 or 8-11 or something. Good for them. It's a step in the right direction. And Julius Randle is playing like an all-star. I'm not shy about that. He is definitely playing like an all-star.
Yeah. He's averaging 22.5 points, 11.3 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Dude, almost a triple-double.
46% from the field. He's a monster.
What's his three-point percentage?
Does it say it on here? No. Where I'm looking doesn't show me.
I think it's like a career high for him so far. He's definitely been adding more and more to his game.
Okay. Oh, 3-point percentage. I'm looking it up right now. Oh, it was on there. Where are you, Julius?
35.6% from three.
Okay.
Which is the highest in his career.
Wow. He's shooting a higher percentage from three than Reggie Bullock on the Knicks, and he's supposed to be
more. And he's supposed to be the shooter.
Yeah. Remember when he was on the Lakers for a hot minute?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was random. But yeah, I do hope the Knicks make the playoffs. And it's like the basketball world is complete and in a much better place when the Knicks are in the playoffs. The Knicks, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Bulls, those are your staple teams in the league. And you want those markets to be represented because those are honestly the most engaged fan bases too. Like, those are the ones that make it fun, because when the fans of those teams are represented in the playoffs, then you get some really entertaining trash talk. You got the rivalries and the history that you can look back on and all that, and it makes it way more fun. And so I hope the Knicks make it. They need it, man. They've been struggling for a while now. We had like our purgatory season was like not even that long, like what, 3-4 years. The Knicks have been garbage for a while, man. That sucks.
Yeah, this has been a long time. Mm-hmm. I know, we have nothing to complain about. Speaking about like the major market teams, Chicago, dude, Zach LaVine is an all-star too, man. I feel so bad for the guy. He's on a crappy team. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do there. Like, he's not enough to like, the sad thing about him, and while I do enjoy watching him play in the Chicago market, like, he's an all-star 100%, but he's definitely not enough to bring another all-star with him. Like, no one's going to want to play with Zach LaVine. You know what I mean? And I don't know what assets you have to trade for him. And you're seeing it bite them in the butt. I mean, they have like a $20, $30 million contract a year for Otto Porter, who they thought was going to break out and be some all-star. No, that didn't happen. They've made some bad picks. I'm still curious how Kobe White is going to turn out. You know, he's been hit or miss. He's been spotty, definitely having a better year, but we'll see. Zach LaVine, get that guy some help. He needs it and he deserves it.
Mm-hmm. He does.
And he always torches the Lakers.
Yes, he does. He torches a lot of teams, but yeah, with the Lakers. he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 22. So next. Yeah, unrestricted free agent. Do you think he stays or do you think he'll leave?
I think he'll leave. I think he'll partner up with someone. I think it's time for him. I mean, he's done his time. He's lost a lot. Unless they get like another all-star to come and join him, I don't think there's a way that he stays. Because, I mean, they have drafted okay with like Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter, but these guys just aren't developing well enough for them to become a really competitive team in the East, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bummer. You know, the Bulls are, they're sitting at 10th right now in the standings, 7-10. Technically, they're tied for the 8th seed with the Knicks and the Magic. Obviously, a crazy amount of season left to go, but it's just, it's a really miserable place to be, though, as a team when you're barely on the bubble of making it to the 8th seed, and then you make it, and you're not in the lottery anymore, and then you just get clobbered by the one seed, whoever it's going to be in the East, whether it's Milwaukee or Philly. Like, they're not going to stand a chance. And it sucks. Like, that'd be super, super miserable. It reminds me of, like, and the Atlanta Hawks were better than the 8th seed back in the day. Remember when the Atlanta Hawks were just always, like, the 4th seed, 5th seed, and, like, they had one season where they were, like, the top 3 team, but they just could never get past, like, the 2nd round. Like, I always felt for them because they're just like the definition of them of being in purgatory. Like, they're not getting any draft assets. They are what they are.
They're just like stuck in that middle of the pack team, you know, and they're never going up or down. So if they go down, they'll get draft picks, which they need. And they did for a couple of years, which is why they got Trey, right? And they got like John Collins. But now they're in that middle ground where it's like either Trey and they get another all-star become super competitive, or Trey leaves and they just go back down again and start the process all over again. I'm really curious what the NBA, you know, is going to change and be like 5 years from now as LeBron finally retires, AD becomes 30. Who's going to be this next all-star that steps up next to him? Who are going to be the competitive teams? Are the Knicks going to be the next team, you know? Is it the Celtics? When do you give up on the Celtics? It's been like 3-4 years now where they're like, hey, we're going to get a championship. They're too kind of like in a purgatory where they can't get, I don't think they get, have they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals? I think one time in like the last 5 years. It's just like you're stuck at that part and trying to find a way past it is so hard and so difficult. Jazz, Denver, I think are teams in the West that are stuck there. Portland, it's like, where do you go?
Yeah, true. I think Denver took a really big step forward. Last year, they gave the Lakers a good series. I think it ended up being a 6-game series, but it felt a lot closer than that. And I think on paper, it looks like they didn't really put up all that much of a fight, but they're really, really close to being like a legit contender. Like right now, they're in that second tier for me, where they're not quite in that elite group of the league. The select few, like the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, but they're right there. They're knocking on the door. Jamal Murray had a coming out party in the playoffs last year. So if they get another piece or another player develops, Michael Porter Jr., if he starts to come into his own, dude, they're going to be crazy good. So I would definitely keep my eye on them.
Definitely. They are so good. You know who I'm surprised at, though, this year? Not surprised, but kind of surprised. The Jazz, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference with the Lakers losing tonight. Donovan Mitchell has been playing outside of his mind, and so is, surprisingly, Rudy Gobert. He's been making more of an effort on the offensive end, and, you know, with that huge contract, I think he realizes, like, he's got to step it up. Rudy Gobert today, actually, they played against the Mavericks. So he was matched up against KP. He had 29 points and 20 rebounds.
Jeez.
That's crazy and ridiculous, but that's what he should be averaging, you know? He definitely is a unicorn in his own right. The way he can guard one through five reliably, at least, and have such a big impact on the offensive end and defensive end. Utah, big team to watch out. Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal. Literally, it's just Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, a good solid point guard, and Mike Conley, and then a bunch of shooters. And that's exactly what you need. And it's an exciting team.
Yeah, they really are. It is crazy to look at the standings and see them number one in the West. Like, when was the last time that happened? Long time ago.
Mailman
Like,
days, I think.
I know. Probably. I mean, are you know, was it? Were the Jazz the number one seed when they played, was it the Mavs, remember when, or no, the Warriors, when Baron Davis dunked over Kirilenko? Remember that?
Yeah, but that
And the
was
Warriors
after
upset?
they. No, that was against Dallas. So the next series was against the Jazz, but
Okay.
they didn't beat the Jazz. They lost to the Jazz. That was
Okay.
like the Jazz had Kirilenko. They had Deron Williams.
Yeah. Were they the one seed that year or no?
I don't think
Probably not.
so. They had
Or
Carlos
what?
Boozer when he was good.
Okay. Was it the so when the Warriors beat the Mavericks, were the Mavs the number one seed? And that's what
Yep,
made it
it
such a
was
big
eight
upset.
versus
Okay, that's
one.
what. Yeah. That's what made it a big upset then. Wow. It feels like ages ago now. Baron
I
Davis was
know.
in the league. Kirilenko. It's crazy.
AK-47.
8-47. Yep. He always reminded me of that boxer from Rocky, like the Russian guy, you know? The
The
one who was
bad
like
one, yeah.
manufactured. Yeah. He always reminded me of that guy. Obviously, he didn't have the muscle mass, but just like that look. Oh, man. Crazy. Well, let's talk a little bit of Lakers then. This is Lakers pod after all. Probably got to start with this most recent game tonight. Lakers had a big game against the Philadelphia 76ers, who the Sixers right now are sitting in first place in the East. And the Lakers going into this game, I think, were second in the West, trailing only the Jazz. And Lakers came up short. You and I watched the end of it together, the last few minutes. And the Lakers climbed back into this. They weren't in it for a little bit towards out as it went into the stretch. They closed it and came down to the last couple of possessions. Lakers pulled ahead on an amazing screen by Anthony Schroeder. I mean, Dennis Schroeder screening for Anthony Davis. Got AD a nice little layup, put the Lakers up one, but then Toby Maguire, Toby Harris, jumper, nothing but net, and ended up sealing it for the Sixers. So Lakers come up short, lose it by one, and now the Lakers are in third place in the West. What were your thoughts on the game? Do you feel like this is alarming for the Lakers going forward, losing a game like this to a potential contender in the Sixers?
Not at all. If you look at the Lakers, if you watch the entire game, you know the Lakers just had a bad shooting night. All the role players, all their guards, Schroeder had a bad night, KCP, Wesley was okay today. Overall, though, the guard play, the role players were kind of off tonight. I don't know if it's like the East Coast time that threw them off or something, but and that's gonna happen. You know, you're going to have games where you're just like, you're not going to be able to play well. And I do commend them for making it close. At the end of the day, that's what you just want to see out of a championship team. You're going to have nights where you struggle and you're not going to be able to be as competitive as you'd like, or you're not going to play your normal, you're not going to be your normal selves where you get 15 and 5 from Schroeder and 15 from Harrell. And KCP and Caruso shoot lights are have been shooting lights out and they barely mean anything tonight. That's gonna happen. I think to me, the biggest worry, and you and I had this discussion, was Anthony Davis today had a really bad night. And he, to me, so far has been struggling this year. I get it. It's still really early. I don't know if he's still ramping up, but he's actually averaging a career low for the first time. Not the lowest he's had was when he was a rookie. Then the year after, he averaged 13 and a half and then 20 points his first couple years. But since then, he's averaged 25 points a game. This year, he's only averaging 21. But he has a better shooting percentage. He has a better three-point percentage. So to me, something's just not lining up. And it's right there in his free throws. He has not been hitting his free throws. And I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if you make a big deal out of it or if you don't, because free throws should be something that are easy, that should be reliable on for someone that's an all-star, for someone that would take our technical free throw shots at times in games. It's not a good sign.
No, yeah. And the first thing that comes to my mind is you want to give him a little bit of slack in the sense that he's not being relied upon as heavily, because Vogel's been very intentional with cutting the minutes of LeBron and AD. And now that they have some additional scoring help, they're not playing as many minutes. So consequently, there's going to be a decrease in the points per game. But you're right. You watch this game and he was 5 of 10 from the free throw line. When players are struggling mentally to get their game on track and it's even slightly off, I think from the free throw line is where you're going to see it manifest itself most evidently, because it's just, as a player, it's just you and the rim when you're shooting a free throw, especially during the pandemic that we're in right now. There's not even fans to distract you, so you can't even say like, oh, it's such a hostile environment, hostile arena, it was crazy, anyone would miss. Like, he doesn't even have that, and he's been a phenomenal free throw shooter most of his career, and for him to go 5 of 10 in a high profile game like this kind of shows that he's not completely there yet. And it's still relatively early in the season, so I do think he's ultimately going to come around. But yeah, he's not quite where we need him to be yet. LeBron seems like he picked right back up where he left off from last season. Like, the guy never ages. It's insane. But Anthony Davis is showing signs of being human and kind of regressing or taking a little bit longer to get fully up to speed after a short break. And that, now that I talk about that, that's honestly something we should probably take into account also. These guys barely had a break in between playing in the finals and coming back for this regular season. So, you know, it takes some time to get back into the swing of things. But yeah, not the best game for
ABC. A question I have for you, and we can, you know, talk about this game as much as we want. At the end of the day, it ended up being a competitive game, a close game, and the Lakers are going to play the Detroit Pistons next. I think after having a loss in this game, it'll be a good pick-me-up game, kind of regain their confidence. So I'm not worried about the Lakers. What I am worried about, Rye, and I want to ask you, is seeing Anthony Davis kind of regress slightly, albeit, and we gave him all those like excuses or those reasons as to why he regressed slightly. Do you think he can be the guy when LeBron leaves the Lakers or when he retires? Or will we need another all-star that will be the one that will be the guy? Like, can Anthony Davis ever be eat first? Can he ever be that guy? Or will he always need another all-star with him that will have to eat first, that will have to be the guy, and will he always be second fiddle?
Wow. Yeah, to be honest, I think he absolutely does need another. He for sure needs another all-star, which, okay, that's really not saying all that much. Everyone needs another all-star in the league nowadays. But I think he does need to be the second option in order to be on a championship team. For him to win a championship, I think Anthony Davis's game requires there to be an option above him and for him to be the second option. He's a phenomenal player, but he doesn't, for me, have the qualities that an alpha player needs to absolutely carry a team.
Stop going around it. Just say it. He doesn't have Mamba mentality. Anthony Davis is a great player, all-star worthy. Still debatable whether he'll be a Hall of Famer, I think, unless he wins another chip. Once you win two, I think
he'll be a Hall of Famer.
I think he will at the end of his career for sure. Right now, I can't say for sure, but I think he will be. But he doesn't have the Mamba mentality. Like, it's all what you're saying right now is he can't be number one. He doesn't want to be number one. Like, he wants to be involved. He wants to get touches. But I don't think he can be the guy that can demand more out of his teammates, can be that guy and that leader.
Yeah. He has inklings of those qualities that you need, but it's not dialed up quite as high as it would need to be for him to be that guy. Like, he has leadership qualities. He does want to take the big shot, but it doesn't seem like he wants it all the time. And it doesn't seem like he's comfortable with carrying that weight consistently. And I mean, that's not a terrible thing. Like, there aren't very many people in the league or on this planet who can carry that and be a great player consistently. Like, what we're seeing from LeBron, what we saw from Kobe, I mean, we're spoiled because those are the once in a generation, once in a lifetime talents and mentalities. And Anthony Davis is still phenomenal. It's not to say that he's not, but no, to put it plainly, I think Anthony Davis has to be the number two option if the Lakers are going to win a championship with him. And it's great that the Lakers still have LeBron, but it definitely raises the question of what's going to happen when LeBron retires, because AD is going to sign a max extension with the Lakers. He's going to be a Laker for a long time, and there is going to be a season in the near future, I don't know how soon, but when Anthony Davis and LeBron aren't on the same team. And so what happens then? You know, like, is the landscape of the league in our favor to where we can still be super competitive, or are we going to become a middle of the pack team, like a 5 seed or 4 seed, just good enough to still be in contention, but not good enough that to really.
We were talking about.
That's scary. I don't want to be there. Like, I would almost just rather bottom out and let's build something.
Rebuild.
That's super, super solid.
When does LeBron's contract end? Year 2022, right?
I believe so. I'll look it up right now.
And then when does Zach LaVine's become an unrestricted agent? 2022, right?
LaVine becomes unrestricted in 22. LeBron becomes, come on and load.
It's hard to tell though, because LeBron signs like 1 year deals all the time, or one year and then player option, you know? So.
Yeah, LeBron becomes unrestricted in 23.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens, who becomes, where we pick up those pieces. I will say tonight, it was great seeing Dwight play. I miss that guy. I honestly, after seeing Mark play the way he's been playing, and don't get me wrong, I love the Gasol brothers, but if we are going to pay the same that we're paying Mark for Dwight, I would have rather taken Dwight.
Yeah, I do too. I'm bummed that we let him walk. And I didn't look into the details of it, but I thought I read somewhere that there was a miscommunication, or it didn't work out the way that the Lakers were intending it to. It didn't mean that he was for sure going to remain a Laker, but it sounded like he might have, maybe we weren't able to
trigger a little quickly.
Yeah, something like that. Which is a bummer.
That we're, hey, yeah, I would have loved to have him. But hey, we'll see. I mean, I would not mind being the franchise that got both the Gasol brothers a championship.
Wow, man. I didn't even think about that. That's crazy. Yeah. There were talks that Marcus Gasol was going to retire or go play in Spain this season. So that kind of shows you that he is definitely not the Marc Gasol of old. He's in the twilight of his career. He could very easily have hung it up this offseason, but now he's our starting center.
That Marc Gasol on the Memphis Grizzlies, though, him and Zebo, do you remember those teams? And Mike Conley, when they took the Warriors to seven? That team had heart. Mm-hmm. It was a great team.
And both Marc Gasol and Zebo have that mid-range type of game that seems like it would be so frustrating to guard because they're not uber athletic, and it's not like they're just blowing by you with athleticism or taking insane shots. They're just taking like these mid-range, like barely jumping, and it just goes in every single time. I'd be so annoyed.
You know who they represent? They represent Tom from LA Fitness.
Oh gosh, freaking Tom, man. Tom from LA Fitness. Yeah, so everyone listening does not know who Tom is, but Tom was an older Asian man who would wear a white wife beater, and he had like a beer belly that stuck out. Didn't run hardly ever, but he would just take these mid-range shots that would go in. But then also, if he missed and you're going up for a rebound, this guy would just come out of nowhere and karate chop you in the neck trying to get an offensive rebound and act super surprised if you called a foul. Like, Tom, that's a foul. You just karate chopped me. Like, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, didn't really speak a lot of English, but I just remembered I would always
might have spoke better English than he let on. He just did the whole, oh, I don't speak English that well.
Probably. He would just beat the crap out of us. So I'm like, oh, please.
And that's what he means to me, you know, that grit and grind of that Memphis team of Zebo and Marc Gasol. No athleticism, but literally had fundamentals, would just hit those awkward like mid-range shots. And if you ever tried to back them down, you would pay for it. Those 2 points would cost you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he made you earn them. And then when you did earn them, you questioned whether or not it was even worth it. Yeah. Oh, those were the days. Wonder how he's doing. Good guy. Anyways, we should probably start wrapping up this episode here. So next week, as you alluded to earlier, I will be eating, what was it, 10 spicy nugs? All right, 10 spicy nugs on the pod.
No sauce. Just 10. Sauce. And then you can drink and have sauce at the end. Just okay. Like 10 nugs straight.
Fair enough. I mean, they're not super spicy, not that spicy. Like yeah. The spice level is just enough to where I start to get uncomfortable and I get the sweats on the back of my head. I don't know if you get that when you eat spicy food, do you?
No.
No, it's just me.
I just start sweating in general. I don't start like back on my head. It's just like everywhere.
Well, hopefully someone out there can relate. I just get like sweat, beads of sweat like in the back portion of my head. So I'll get some of that action next week. So something for you guys to look forward to. Hope you guys enjoyed this video edition of the pod. We kind of talked about it last week, but we're going to try and make this a new norm. Obviously, we're not ones for theatrics. I have a closet with a curtain behind me. It's not a shower curtain, by the way, for people wondering. I think many people I've talked to on Zoom at work think that I'm in the bathroom. I'm not sitting on a toilet while I do this podcast with a TV tray in front of the toilet for the microphone. I do have pants on. MD, obviously, you know, looks all spiffy, got dressed up all nice for this, but we're not ones for super high quality videos yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
# humble beginnings. # whatever it takes. # strength the numbers. # one for all for one. And # no I in team, but there's an I in win. And that's what we're doing. We're winning at the podcast game, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We love you, all seven of you. Who listened last pod.
You think we'll get 8 this week?
I hope we get 8. It's Kobe Memorial Week, you know? It'd be nice to get, we have to get 8 or 24. We can't be in between.
True. Completely agree with that. Yeah. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Until then, enjoy this new outro music. Later.